everybody. My name is Mike. I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike.
My clean date is November 15th of 1997. For that, I'm truly grateful. Like everybody said, I mean, not many of you, I think Lance and Monica, I know them because they had time in California, too. That's where I got clean, in Palm Springs, California. But moved back to Texas, up north Texas, in 95, and just recently moved down to Houston. I've been coming down here for, like 2 week spells for the last 3 years, and I've been to Third Coast when I'm in town quite a bit, and decided to make that my home group. I really like that group. But, like I said, my clean date is 1997, but that wasn't my first attempt at recovery. I came into the program in 1988 for all the wrong reasons. Mainly it was to try and get my wife to take me back. She had finally got tired of me and kicked me to the curb, and that was before I learned that you got to, get clean for yourself and all the other little rules that they have and stuff. I was trying to do it my way. And another way I was trying to do it my way is I thought that I could kind of half-ass do the first three steps. And then, I didn't want anything to do with anything further than that, except I tried to do a ninth step with my wife at about maybe 6 months clean. And all that got me was divorce papers. So I don't recommend that process. So, I did stay. I was abstinent for 13 months at that time, went to a lot of meetings, got kind of involved in the program and stuff, but never really felt part of because of the fact that I never did the steps, so I couldn't really relate to what everybody was talking about. And I felt a lot of guilt about that and all that too, and then I didn't have a foundation in the program, and I hadn't experienced the process of learning about myself and what makes me click and why I do the things that I do, because I didn't do the fourth and fifth and on through the steps, and I really didn't pay that much attention on why we did the steps. I didn't get into, at that time, I think in 88, I think they only had the basic text. I don't think they had any other literature at that time to speak of, but I don't even think this little four-step working guide was out then. But, I want to do it my way. So, and then some crap happened. The girl that I was dating after my wife, divorced me, I got over her two or three weeks and started dating this and then she ended up relapsing. We had about the same amount of time and she moved back to San Diego and I thought, well, I could just have some beers with the guys, and that lasted for about 2 weeks and I was back at the dope house. So, I can't do anything. Complete abstinence from everything. I can't do drinking without drug, can't do the drugs, make me want to drink. A lot of people tell me, when they're doing methamphetamine and stuff, that they can't drink beer or whatever, Well, I could drink a lot more beer whenever I was doing that stuff. So, it was a vicious triangle between the three things that I like to do that got me where I wanted to be for a long time until the end. And I was just chasing it. But anyway, but this time, I thought I had a lot of material for my fourth and fifth step that first time around. I was so ashamed. I thought it was more, the fourth and fifth step was more like a confession of all my evils and everything, And I really didn't want, and I thought I was a really bad person, I had a lot of guilt and shame, and I really didn't want to share that with anybody, because I didn't trust anybody because I didn't get to know anybody in the program that well. So what I did after I relapsed, I proceeded to add a whole lot more material to my fourth and fifth step. A lot more. Many trips to jail. When I finally surrendered in 1997. I was in jail for 17 days. I never went to treatment or anything. I was always too busy for that, So I did my treatment in Riverside County Jail in Indio, California for 17 days, you know, and that's what it took to get everything out of my system enough to where I could look at my life and make a decision on what I wanted to do to proceed with my life, you know, if I wanted to stay where I was at or if I wanted to do something about it, you know. And the biggest thing for me, now that I look back on it and stuff, and after doing the steps, I never got a relationship with my higher power. You know, I thought I did the first three steps because I had this guru guy that did the third steps. We're on our knees and all that, and all the shivering and the crying and all, you know. But that, I found out that's not what it's all about, you know. I was just fooling myself, but, you know, because I wasn't trusting him at all, you know. And so, but this time around, you know, when I was sitting in that jail cell, I was looking at 2 years in prison, you know, and I was pretty scared, you know, because I still had a job and I had my, you know, two sons and stuff, and I was pretty scared, you know, and it gave me some time to, you know, I slept for about the first 2 days, and then I was able to pray to God and seriously ask him for help from the depths of my being, you know. I need some help, you know, just show me what to do, you know. And something happened to me, you know, in that 17 days, you know, and I ended up, you know, long story short, I ended up getting 3 years probation and instead of the 2 years. And I mean, I don't know, that was a God thing. The court was, it was the day after Thanksgiving weekend when I went to court. And that was a blessing, too, you know, because it was just jam-packed with people, you know, from that weekend and stuff. So so I was, you know, I got off really lucky, you know, and I had, you know, I had done that jailhouse prayer, you know, get me out of this one and I'll do right from now on and all that. I had done that many, many times before. But this time my prayers were different, you know, and they were truly coming from my heart, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, whatever, and I didn't say get me out of this one. I said, whatever is in store for me, I'm okay with it. You know, I'll do it. You know, I might not like it, but I'll do it. You know, if it's your will, I'll do it. You know, and I had a little bit of a seed planted, you know, from the program from the prior time, you know, to where I knew where I needed to go and what I needed to do and all that whenever I got out of jail, if I got out of jail, you know. So, you know, I made a promise to God, you know, that I would sincerely do my part, you know, and really put all my effort into it, you know. And I worked with some people that were in the other program and stuff, and they tried to get me to go in the doors, you know, for probably about 2 or 3 years before, you know, I did, before I got arrested that last time. So, but they would joke around me, "You ready yet?" "No, not ready yet. I'll let you know." So one of them was my neighbor. And he used to get home. He was an entertainer. He'd get home about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be out in the garage doing my thing, you know. "You ready yet, Mike?" "No, John, I'm not ready." The neighbors probably thought I was crazy, but anyway, so this time around, you know, I got out and I would start going to meetings and stuff, and believe it or not, some of those same people from 8 years prior were still there, you know, which amazed me, you know, and they're still clean today, you know, 21 years later. I see them on Facebook and stuff. And a lot of them have like 40 years now and stuff. So it's really cool. I mean, there's a lot of good recovery in the Coachella Valley out there, California. But you know, this time around, I got a sponsor. You know, and it took me a little while to find somebody I really trusted. So I had a temporary sponsor in AA, you know, because I worked with him and I knew him real well. So I used him for a little while. And I did the first three steps with him, you know, until I found my sponsor. And then we redid the first three steps, you know, out of the NA literature. And this time around, you know, I was willing, man, because I did not want to go back. I mean, I would do pretty much anything. You tell me to climb a telephone pole and, you know, parasail off of it or something. If that would have been, you know, a possibility, I would have tried it. You know, I mean, I would have done anything, you know. But you know, he, you know, was understanding with what, you know, I shared him what my history was and stuff, you know. So he kind of, you know, we took it slowly at first, but you know, he started saying things to me like, you know, uncover, discover, and discard, and things like that. You know, when we were talking about the fourth step, and it's a fact-finding mission, and terms that I never heard. I probably heard them before, but I wasn't listening. You know, so they didn't sink in. So I became real willing. You know, and we kind of dove into it. You know, and this time I had my higher power on my side. You know, he was behind me, and that made all the difference in the world. You know, to me, because I was just so, I had so much fear going about it. You know, the first time, you know, it's just like it was impossible. I couldn't do it. So this time, you know, and he was a real structured individual too. So, you know, and I need structure, you know, when I'm doing step work, or I need structure in my life to get anything, because I've always been a bad procrastinator about everything, you know. But I think that's a common trait among a lot of us, you know. But so he made me up a schedule, you know, on when I was going to do what step work and everything, especially when we came to the fourth step, you know. And he gave me a deadline, you know, when we were going to do the fifth step, you know, which created a lot of fear, you know, too. But and I was only a week late, which is really good for me, you know. So but you know, I mean, just the, I mean, because I knew deep inside, I mean, I was raised, I went to a Baptist church, and so I was raised in a house with morals. I was too, was raised in a single parent environment, and so had a lot of step. My mom was a bad picker, had a lot of stepdads, but it was pretty dysfunctional, a lot of alcoholism and stuff, you know. But, you know, I knew that it wasn't her fault. I mean, she did the best she could with what she had, you know, had been given, so. But I never blamed her for my addiction at all. But so I started learning some stuff about myself, you know, going through. And we didn't have the step working guide when I got clean. So I did, you know, the beginning of my fourth step and stuff. I used this book here, you know, and then redid it later, you know, once the step working guide came out, because I wanted to sponsor other people, you know. And if I didn't have experience, you know, going through the step working guide, then I couldn't help anybody else with it, you know. So, but, you know, I started finding out, and, you know, and what was important, that an aspect about doing the fourth step that I didn't have a clue about the first time around, was that's where all the material for the remaining, you know, to the ninth step comes from. You know, that's where you find out all the information you're going to use in those steps. So, you know, I started realizing that the steps are, it was really a light bulb came on that these steps are in an order for a reason, you know. Yeah. It was starting to click. So, but, you know, so we did the first fourth step. He sat with me about it took me about a month to make, well, actually 5 weeks, because he gave me a month to do it, you know, but it took me 5 weeks. But we sat down about once a week, you know, to discuss, and I had a lot of questions, you know, because, you know, I wanted to do it perfect, you know. But he told me there's no perfect fourth step, you know, so just do it to the best of your ability. But I didn't want to have to do it again anyway soon, so, you know, so I wanted it to be as good as possible. So it's thorough is the word that I should have been using. But and it wasn't fearless, you know, at first, you know, I got to admit that, you know, there was still a lot of fear involved in it, a lot of praying, some tears, you know, and, but I got through that, you know, and we did the fifth step. And what still amazes me when I'm working with others, you know, is the similarities, the commonalities and stuff, you know, with stuff that we did when we were out there, especially because I worked with a lot of guys who used the same drugs that I did, you know, so we had a lot of the same behavior, and a lot of it's kind of twisted, you know. And but that is such a neat thing, you know, when you're able to connect with somebody and understand what they're talking about and stuff, you know. And there's no way that I could ever experience that if I wouldn't have finally done, you know, the steps one by one as directed, you know, by my sponsor. So, but it's like, you know, and a lot of guys ask me to sponsor them because of things that I share in meetings that I've been through. Like, you know, one of my big issues was with the IRS because I thought they were like evil dragons or something and a brief fire down on me. So I got behind a little bit because I had a 1099. And so I just started ignoring it. You know, it'll go away. Put everything in a drawer, all the mail stuff, for 7 years, you know, that whole time between getting clean the first time and the second time. You know, I only filed taxes 1 year after that and then just ignored it. So I had a lot of nine-step work to do, you know, and I share about that. I mean, that's, to be honest with you, that's one of my greatest accomplishments, you know, in my life is getting all that stuff cleaned up, you know. And my sponsor told me, just you know, listen to people and stuff, and you'll find somebody who's gone through the same thing, kind of like what I'm doing with other people now, you know, because they come to me because they have problems with that now, you know, and they're lost, you know, and they don't know how to start. But I was able to get through all that stuff, you know, and finally got a after about 8 years clean. You know, I had a lot of monetary amends and stuff, you know. And it had been so long, my tax guy had to reorder software and stuff, you know, because it was kind of obsolete. He didn't have it anymore because all that stuff was so old. But one of the greatest gifts was, you know, I was honest and I took, you know, I was a man of my word and I took care of, I never missed a payment to him or anything like that. And then I had two more years to go and I called the guy and asked him for information and stuff, you know, and he goes, you know what, Mike? You've never missed a payment. You've always done what you said you were going to do. I'm just going to write off these last 2 years, you know, and those are going to be the most expensive years, you know, because we started with current and went to way back. So, but you know, there's nothing, yeah, I've had a lot of free time in the past few years because I up north, I was taking care of my elderly mom. And so I had a lot of free time to work with others until my mom got really bad with her dementia. But, I mean, it's been such a great experience working with others and taking the guy, other guys through, you know, not only the fourth and fifth, but all the steps, you know. And I haven't had a whole lot of experience in the last 21 years with guys going through all the whole step working process, you know. But I have had a few, you know, and I'll keep trying, you know, hoping that there's still some more that will complete it all and just watch the lights come on, you know, in their eyes and see their lives change and stuff and the happiness that have them find the happiness that I found, you know, through this program. But I think my time is just about up, but I don't know, I was kind of all over the place, but hopefully you got something out of that. Thank you. I hope to get to know some of you guys.